Welcome to the LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Podcast. In today's meeting, we will discuss Principle 3. He will take upon him the pains and sicknesses of his people. Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles has said the following about the healing power of Christ's atonement.
He knows of our anguish, and he is there for us. Like the Good Samaritan in his parable, when he finds us wounded at the wayside, he binds up our wounds and cares for us. Brothers and sisters, the healing power of his atonement is for you, for us, for all.
In this series, you will hear actual participants discussing gospel principles of recovery and healing. Spouse and family support meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. All of the individuals in these podcasts are regular attendees in the Addiction Recovery Program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true opinions and experiences of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Spouse and Family Support Group. I am Sister Oswald, and will be conducting today's group. Do we have anyone here for the first time? Yes, I see two of you. Welcome. And let's go around the circle and each introduce ourselves. We'll start here with Eric.
Hello, I'm Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I'm Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm Melinda.
Hi, Melinda.
I'm Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, I'm Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary. Thank you. Could we please turn off your cell phones or silence them? And could I get a volunteer for our opening prayer? Thank you, Christy.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Father, to gather this night as family members who are struggling with addiction and our homes and our relationships. And we are so grateful, Father, for the Savior, for his atonement. We pray, Father, that we might have thy Spirit to be with us this night, that we might be able to be aware of those things that we may need to change, or we may need to, principles or tools that we may need to adopt into our lives, so that we might have healing, so that we might draw near unto thee and have thee and the Savior more intimately involved in our lives. We love thee so much. We're so grateful again for all our many blessings and for this wonderful program. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints family support meetings assist those with loved ones ensnared in pornography and addiction. We are a group of brothers and sisters who share our experiences, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the spouse and family support guide. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we apply these gospel principles in our own lives, we receive power through the atonement of Jesus Christ to find hope and healing and to receive the full blessings of the gospel. Each week we focus on a different principle. Today we are on principle number 3. We will go around the room and each person who is willing may read a paragraph. You may pass if you prefer just to listen. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings that resonate with you. In addition, we will be pausing at the end of each section to discuss what we have read. Please remember to raise your hand to allow only one person to speak at a time. Who would like to begin our reading tonight?
Principle number 3, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. He will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. No blessings will be denied. We want to have eternal families, but our loved ones' addictions can threaten our hopes. Fearing we may lose our eternal family may cause us to experience significant feelings of grief. We may find ourselves in a crisis of faith and be tempted to give up on our Heavenly Father's plan. Many of us feel that we are just hanging on, clinging to God out of habit, reflex, or desperation. It can be hard to move forward through the pain of broken promises and threatened dreams. The choice we face is whether or not to have faith in God, even when we can't see how God's promises will be kept. Elder Dallin H. Oaks said, "We cannot control and we are not responsible for the choices of others, even when they impact us so painfully. I am sure the Lord loves and blesses husbands and wives who lovingly try to help spouses struggling with such deep problems as pornography or other addictive behavior or with the long-term consequences of childhood abuse. Whatever the outcome, and no matter how difficult your experiences, you have the promise that you will not be denied the blessings of eternal family relationships if you love the Lord, keep His commandments, and just do the best you can."
Thank you. How have your expectations and dreams been impacted by the choices of your loved ones?
Well, I think the thing that happened the most is where it says in here, whether or not to have faith in God. And that word faith, the opposite of faith is fear. And I think that I had so much fear in my life that it totally disabled my spiritual progression. And the guilt was so overwhelming that I felt that I wasn't worthy to ask for help because I had somehow failed in raising these boys. I just felt like it was so important for me to march them towards the temple marriage and a mission and the celestial kingdom, and when that didn't happen, it really impacted my soul. And where it says faith in God, I was very fearful, and the fear kind of overcame me and really impacted my life.
Thank you.
The feeling that took over me when I first realized these addictions were coming on is that my family was falling apart and I could do nothing about it. It was like, you know, I thought a lot about Adam and Eve losing so many of their children, and I just felt like I'm in this terrible dream and these lions are swallowing up my family and I can't save them in any way. And I'd made all these promises to myself all my life to protect and safeguard my family. And as a father, it felt like I was giving up on all of those things. And it was just a horrible emotional thing to go through.
I've been doing this program now for about 7 years, just on and off. And I really have to say my expectations and dreams were absolutely crushed. I mean, I felt absolutely hopeless, and I'd only had one daughter, and so I put everything, my life, into this one child. And I just felt, when things started to go south, I just felt total despair. And then I finally started going to 12-step and found that it was me that was the only person that could change or that I had control over. And still to this day, it's not something that just goes away overnight. It doesn't go away over months. It doesn't go away over years. It's a daily process, and I'm continually trying to gain those expectations and dreams for my own self and not for others.
Thank you. Any other comments on that question? Okay, let's go on to the next question. Why do you need to believe the promises of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and not just believe in them?
I think that was one of my biggest struggles when I first started attending 12-step meetings is I totally believed in my Heavenly Father. And I loved my Heavenly Father and I loved the Savior. But as I look back, I see now that my fear, as was mentioned before, was so big that it was overshadowing my faith. And as I began to work the 12-step programs, especially step 2 and 3, and my faith started, as my faith started to grow, my hope started to grow as well. And then a friend of mine shared, one of my sons had an opportunity to go to a treatment center, and one of the family educators shared with us Doctrine and Covenants chapter 50, and it's a promise from the Savior. And when she shared that with me, it was a life changer for me. Because I knew that the Savior doesn't lie. And basically he says in verse 40 through 42 something to the fact that, "Fear not, little children, for ye are mine, and I have overcome the world." And and none that my Father hath given me shall be lost. And when I heard that promise from the Savior, it made me realize that my sons were not going to be lost. And it helped increase my trust in him and gave me the hope. And that at that point, I could just love them and kind of really let go and let the Lord take the will.
Does anyone else have anything they want to share, Mary?
I think that this, where it talks about believing in the scriptures, this is what changed, I think this is what changed my life and how I felt, was the fact that I'd read the scriptures my whole entire life, and I believed what they said, but I didn't believe them for myself. And I had such a hard time reading things about being healed and thinking, oh yeah, okay, well that will help for somebody else, but not me. And I somehow had this thought that I had to jump in and save my children first, and then the Lord would step in. And then I learned that it was just the opposite. The Lord grabs them, works with them, and then I am healed through that, and I feel the peace. And I think I went through the Book of Mormon one time, and I think it's like 13 times in the Book of Mormon it says, I will heal you. I will heal you. So do I believe the scriptures? I do. Do I have a testimony of the scriptures? I do. And I believe what they say for me. And I think that really helped me, started me on a journey where I understood the scriptures were for me.
Thank you. Eric?
I remember after a particular really hard week, my children approached me because I have young kids. And I'm like, Dad, what is going on? How are you doing? It's like, you guys are being the parents. Well, this is really hard. And I says, yeah, I kind of am having a hard time. I'm wondering how everything is going to work out. And they said, well, let's have a prayer. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's have family prayer. And I offered the prayer, and as I began praying, these thoughts came into my mind of particularly a scripture in 3 Nephi where the Savior speaks about praying for your family. And if you ask for the things that are right, they should be provided for you. I didn't know how things were going to work out, particularly with my spouse or the addictions or whatever, but I was able to have a confirmation that our family would be okay, that our Heavenly Father was aware of our situation and he would provide and watch over us regardless of the decisions that my spouse made. And that really reaffirmed my testimony. I didn't have to just believe that my Heavenly Father cared. I really felt that answer by just offering a prayer.
Thank you. Anyone else like to share on this question? Okay, let's go on with the next section. Who would like to read this section? Okay, thank you.
Jesus Christ can heal our deepest pain and sorrow. If we allow it to, the pain and sorrow resulting from our loved one's addiction can lead us to the Savior. The atonement is not only for overcoming death and sin, but is also for healing our pain, our sorrow, and every other affliction. Elder C. Scott Grow said, through his atonement, he heals not only the transgressor, but he also heals the innocent who suffer because of those transgressions. The Spirit will help us understand that Christ knows our pain because he has literally taken upon himself our pains and sicknesses. We can find hope through the enabling power of Jesus Christ that we will be healed and supported in our trials no matter the choices and actions of our loved ones. Elder Dallin H. Oak said, the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it removes our burdens or strengthens us to endure and live with them, like the Apostle Paul, is available for every affliction and mortality. Real healing does not begin or become complete until we turn to the Savior.
Thank you. When have you felt peace and hope through the Savior despite heavy burdens?
I think because of the grief and the, you know, what we just talked about in the last question, it was really hard at first for me to feel a spiritual relief because there was just too much there and too much pain and all of that. But I recognized as I went through it that I needed to listen to God's voice in a different kind of a way, the way that He chose to communicate with me. And I recognized that He did communicate with me, but it was in ways that I didn't really expect. It was just in unusual moments, almost very not obvious moments, you know, that were very unusual, so that it was very clear that He was talking to me, and He was assuring me, and He was saying, "I'm in charge, and just give up your control here, and let me handle this." And I had to hear something that I didn't want to hear. I wanted to still be in control, and I wanted to be able to pray for something that I could see that was going to happen. But I had to just give it up and just let Him communicate with me the way He was going to communicate with me.
Thank you.
You know, our two boys, about at age 19 and 21, is when the addiction really affected them and our family. And over the next few years, the battle was fierce. And there was a lot of feelings. For me, feelings of resentment, feelings of impatientness, feelings of why are you doing this to me and to our family, to our marriage. A lot of these things that usually I could deal with now became Mount Everest type of issues emotionally. And for me, the Savior's atonement is not just about helping me overcome and be forgiven of sin. It's about changing my heart. And there was a toxicity in our family around our boys because of my resentment and my almost hatred, if I could be so bold. And I remember listening to D. Todd Christofferson in a conference a little over a year ago, and he said one line that hit me. And it says, "The atonement also satisfies the debt justice owes to us by healing and compensating us for any suffering we innocently endure." You know, in addiction, there's family members that innocently endure. And there's a lot of shrapnel. And what happens is that this gives us an opportunity. It gave me an opportunity to learn about me, to learn how to apply the atonement to me so it could change my nature, my personality, so it could change my resentment feelings in these issues in me. And so what a great a testimony to me that addiction, I'm just grateful for it because it's a testimony that the atonement really works. The enabling power of the atonement can help change our lives as well as the life of our family member that's struggling with addiction.
Thank you. Anyone else? Christy.
All my life, I heard how important it is to pray and study the words of God, you know, study my scriptures. And but I never really desperately needed the peace that comes from that. And when addiction came into my family, because I had to take care of, you know, I had my two older sons that were struggling, I had to take care of three other children, it was such a blessing in a way because it helped me to discover the value of prayer and studying the words of God. And it was like a recipe for, I had to do it. And when I felt like I was just so overwhelmed with, you know, sorrow or fear, it was so wonderful to just know. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I needed to go in my room. I needed to have that quiet time. I needed to connect with my Father in heaven. And I needed to pray to him. And I would so many times have that, for sure, feel that peace come over me and that love and just kind of a gentle reassurance that everything's going to be okay. And I'd get off my knees and I would be able to go throughout the rest of the day. And that happened so many times over and over that it's established a pattern in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And I don't know if I would have ever discovered that had not really hard things come into my life.
Yes, thank you. All right, let's move on to the next question. What may prevent you from coming unto Christ and exercising faith in him so that he can heal you? Mary.
Well, it comes right down to pride. It's just pride. It's just prideful because I think I was fearing man more than I was fearing God. And when I was totally consumed on how it looked to others, then I couldn't find the peace that I needed. And I wouldn't, because I was too consumed on how it looked to other people. And I was very prideful because I was supposed to have this perfect package of a family and it wasn't happening and it wasn't there. And so I looked past my opportunity and right to feel the Savior's healing balm and love in my life. And when I finally let go of pride and got to the point where I feared God more than I feared man and understood that he loved my boys probably more than I did, and that I was being resentful and prideful and bratty, that I just learned that I needed to quit being judgmental, and I had to give it all up to the Savior and let him know that I loved these boys and that he would heal them. I couldn't do it, and that my job was to love them and to love them unconditionally. And when I finally did that, it was interesting how I could feel the peace of my Savior in my life.
Thank you. Yes, Rick.
You know, that's exactly what I felt was pride. To be honest, when this happened, I thought, well, it's obviously not me or my wife. It's our boys. You know, we're going to church. We're paying tithing and we're trying to live like we, but they're the ones that are out on, you know, out in the South 40. So it's not me. And what I found is that as I continued coming to meetings, the Spirit taught me that that was not the case, and that perhaps addiction came into our family to help me with my character weaknesses. And as I studied and prayed, that's what I found was the case. And that our boys, they, of course, needed to work on their recovery. But there was many things that Dad needed to work on. And I found that what addiction does is addiction brings out, with us family members, our weaknesses, they come right on the forefront. And we now have to learn how to deal with them. And now as I look back, and it's been several years, I'm so grateful, if I could say that, for addiction in our family, because not only have I learned more in depth how the atonement can help change us from the inside out, but the character defects, if you will, the character weaknesses, truly that I felt before, well, that's just a part of me and I can never get rid of them. I've learned that the Savior can heal me. He can change me from the inside out, can change my very desires and nature. And so I had to bust through that pride, if you will, and so grateful that my Heavenly Father helped me through these meetings see it. These meetings was what helped me see that it was my pride that was stopping my growth.
Thank you. Yes, Eric.
Wow, this just really speaks to me. But in my household, both I, myself, and my wife have dealt with addictions. I'm in recovery from an addiction to pornography. My wife is suffering from prescription drug abuse and from alcoholism. And I was often left filled that I didn't really take the notice to see the fallout that was occurring in my wife's life until it became so severe that something had to be done. She needed help. We both needed to look to the Savior, but both of us were totally not where we needed to be. And my wife made a promise with me. She says, I will go to rehab if you will do something about your addiction. I said, that's fair. That's fair. So she, bless her heart, she packed her bags and went into a treatment center. And I was at home and I made a phone call to my bishop. I said, Bishop, what do I do? And luckily I found the ARP program. And so I started going to 12-step programs for myself, but also the family meetings. But the thing that I learned, although I did not feel worthy or feel like I could expect blessings from my Father in heaven, I felt the Spirit from being in the meetings. I began to heal. I began to make sense out of my own issues and my wife's issues. And I found a secret that it wasn't the addictions that caused, or it wasn't the addictions that promoted healing. The only thing that seemed to heal were things that were gospel related. Music, scriptures, being with family, attending meetings, prayer. Those were the things that promoted the healing. And that's what has built my testimony, especially of this program, is because they're just basic gospel principles that I've been learning all my life. I'm finally humble enough to listen and to see that miracle take place when we attend these meetings.
Thank you. Bill.
What has been said here is really happened to me in the sense that I was not able to articulate the emotions that were as something that was bad in me. They were just emotions. They were just what was going on in me. And when I had to a facilitator in one of our addiction in one of the addiction recovery meetings that I attended said that when you can put a name on it, you can do something about it. And by having to identify really the emotions that were happening inside of me and then put a name on the mother of those emotions is pride, I wouldn't have identified them as pride initially, but things like self-pity and resentment and just fear. I mean, what's wrong with fear? I thought that it was a normal emotion. I mean, and anger, and how was I supposed to repent of that? But putting a name on that and then recognizing that when an addict has to overcome those kinds of emotions in order to overcome their addiction, I needed to do the same thing. I was on the same side of the table as my addicts, and just being on the same side of the table as them healed our relationships and our family so that I could be like them and I could understand them a lot better and I could share with them like I share with people in this meeting. And it just did so much to heal our family.
Thank you. Yes, Jennifer. I just thinking about this time frame when we all kind of hit our recognition of what's going on and how do we control it. What comes to my mind was an anger that feared me. I realized for the first time, wow, a mom with three young kids should not be in this state. And where was it coming from? And I came from a family of addiction. And so it wasn't necessarily with what was going on around me at the time, but it was built up and shoved down for so long that finally I had to take my own time out
to kind of view what was creating these feelings in me. And so just learning, and mine started from just those emotions, identifying those emotions. And I, for the first time, realized I believed in God's word and I believed in prayer, but I did not trust no one, nobody. I couldn't. I would fail. I would be disappointed. And so it didn't take me to a person that to focus on. It took me more to what I had been feeling and hiding or protecting. And so that was when I started my process of writing to identify, just identify any thoughts that came or, you know, getting it out kind of more or less so I could understand what it was that was affecting me and those emotions.
Thank you.
I love this question. What may prevent you from coming into Christ and exercising faith in him so that he can heal you? I think I became so critical. I was so desperate to fix the situation that I was playing the blame game. And I was being really critical of my husband, his relationship with the boys, or really critical of everything in my life, which hardened my heart. My heart was so hard, and I was focusing on everybody else that I didn't even think about me for a long time. So until I started coming to this program, you know, I couldn't. All my focus was on everybody else.
Yes, thank you.
We all learn. The blame game.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Let's move on to the next section. Mary, could you?
Give our burdens to the Lord. As we come unto Christ in faith and rely upon him to bear our heavy burdens, we can experience his healing power. Elder Richard G. Scott counseled, many of you suffer needlessly from carrying heavy burdens because you do not open your hearts to the healing power of the Lord. Lay the burdens at the feet of the Savior. The Lord is anxious to bless us. We can find great strength as we give our burdens to the Lord, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Unfortunately, we may still suffer the consequences of our loved one's poor choices, yet we can receive his peace, that peace which passeth all understanding, despite our circumstances. As we strive to come unto Christ and exercise our faith in him, he will give us strength beyond our own. Jesus said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. When we remember that our Savior is there to help us, our simple faith will grow and increase. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland taught, the size of your faith or degree of your knowledge is not the issue. It is the integrity you demonstrate towards the faith you do have and the truth you already know.
Thank you. What do you feel it means to lay your burdens at the feet of the Savior?
Well, I think we're all really great in knowing what it means to lay your burdens at the feet of the Savior, but I think we're all, as if you have an addict in your house or something of that nature, there's a codependent in the house. That's just goes hand in hand. And so as codependent nurturers and doing the things that we do, I'm the queen of codependency. And so we want to lay him at the feet of the Savior and then go pick him up and then lay him down and then pick him up. And so for me, it's a lifelong journey. It's having the faith. It's doing it, laying it down and pleading with the Savior to help. And then having the faith to be able to leave him there, and that's very difficult. So I think it's an everyday process of doing that. I'm right in the what do you want to say, the real thing right now, again, as far as, you know, I have stages of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I have peaks and valleys where I think everything, I enjoy a tender mercy for a while, and everything's pretty smooth, and then, bam, it hits again, and we have to deal with a situation. And I think that's just the way the Lord tempers us. And sometimes I feel like, for me, I think the addictions and things that we deal with in our family will be minimized when I personally can learn what I need to learn. I think it's more about me in the fact of this thing turning around. Because the more I do better, my daughter will say, wow, Mom, you have changed so much. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, you're staying out of my business. You're letting me do my thing. And that's all about, there is a Savior, and my daughter has one, and it isn't me. And I have to get out of the way.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else?
I feel so bad. I feel like I'm talking too much, but I do have two sons, so maybe I get double the
other. That's right. That is right.
I'm just teasing. I love this question because what does it mean to lay your burdens at the feet of the Savior? I never knew. I never knew what it meant until I just remembered. I mean, there was a day when I realized I had absolutely no power. No power whatsoever to save my sons. And I remember just, you know, melting to my knees and just praying, please take this. You know, please, please, please do this. You know, please help save them. Please remove this addiction. Do whatever it takes. Just pleading with the Lord. And I remember feeling... And the only way I can describe it is the way the scriptures describe the grace and the mercy of the Savior, that encircling, being encircled in the arms of his love. I remember feeling like I was kind of getting a hug, you know. I couldn't see anybody, but I felt this overwhelming love. And that was the first tender mercy I had to help me understand what it meant to lay my burden at the feet of the Savior, and it helped me with my trust. It helped me to realize that, wow, he really is there, and I can give my burden to the Lord. It was powerful.
I think at different points we try and think, oh, what could I just do? What could I just say to make this all better? And finally realizing that that doesn't come through me. It's going to come through someone else or from the Savior himself, to where I could instead turn it over to him. And I would literally think that to myself, like, okay, you've got this. I'm giving it to you. You know, I'm sure he sees it better than we ever could.
I think the trick is to not take it back when we give it to him. Yes, Melinda.
Just real quickly, one of the only ways that I've ever felt to lay something down and that the burden would be taken away from me was through the priesthood, in the fact of living something on a daily basis with my husband. And I have learned over the past probably 6 months to a year that he's helped me by him taking the burden from me and taking over in situations through the priesthood that I couldn't do. And it was just so relieving to know that when a problem comes to the surface, I just go to my husband and I say, here's what's going on, good luck. And he has been willing to say, I will do that, because I know that your personality, your nurturing, your caring personality is not going to do one bit of good in this situation. This person needs direct and no ifs, ands, or buts about what is going on, and he deals with it. And that's the only way I can physically picture what would happen if I went to the Savior and said, here you go, you deal with it. And through doing it through my everyday life with my husband, that has been able to help me understand what a relief. I just clue him in, and then I walk away. And it works wonderful.
That's great. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, the next question's tough. What burdens will you lay at his feet?
The process of recovery, I was just waiting for it to, you know, point A to point B, and then you're done. And I'm just discovering that it is not like that at all. In fact, there are plenty of things to learn along the way. But in my personal recovery, the step that I am struggling with is forgiveness of myself and forgiveness of the addict. And I've heard it said, well, you just let it go. Let it go. If I could, I would do it in a second. But I feel like it's imprisoning, and you know, I don't have the key to unlock that gate. But through this experience, I know that the Lord knows. I know that He is the only one with the ability to be able to help me through the journey of forgiveness. That's what I would lay at His feet. Please help me to make sense out of what's going on. Please help me to learn what I need to learn. Please help me to be healed. That's what I would put on speed. And I know through just coming to these meetings and seeing the miracles that take place, that it can be possible. It can be possible for my spouse and also for me.
You know, the question, what burdens will you lay at His feet? You know, as family members, it seems there's two parts. One is the burden of sorrow, of frustration, of fear, sadness, hopelessness. Those things are all part of this that the Savior can help heal us on. But the other part had great meaning to me. And the part that I have found real healing in was laying at His feet the burden of my character weaknesses that were uncovered in this process of addiction in our family. Pride, laying that at His feet, because that blinds our eyes. The burden of impatientness, the burden of resentment, of envy. These burdens that, you know, I talk about envy. You know, when our boys were struggling, other boys in our mission, the parents are sending their boys on missions. We're sending our boys to rehab. And there's an envy issue. There's a pride issue. That was really uncovered, and it was raw, and I had to deal with it. See, I didn't want anybody to know. Our family, our great family, nobody can know about this. Well, that's a pride issue. And I'm grateful that, and will tell everybody about what's happened, because I feel there's a story of healing and of hope, because both of our boys years later are doing very well. But the burden that I found is taking these character weaknesses and being able to lay them in front of the Savior. Truly, He will take upon Him the pains and the sicknesses of His people. But what was neat was beforehand, I just kind of dealt with that stuff. I'm a controller. I'm a fixer. I can deal with life. You know, I'm good. Well, I'm grateful again for addiction, because these character weaknesses, it allowed me to go to the Savior and Him heal me from a lot of these issues.
The burden that I was carrying, I think, that was the heaviest, I thought it was my job to work out somebody else's salvation. That was my job. And someone said once in a meeting, you know, it's nowhere does it say in the Scriptures that we're responsible to work out someone else's salvation. And when I learned that and heard that and felt that, it was great. That was just a huge relief for me to know that I'm not responsible for anybody else's salvation.
Thank you. Bill.
One thing that happened to me as I started laying things down at the Savior's feet is that I started recognizing when what I came in our family, we kind of called it Satan's emotional life. Whenever we were feeling rushed and all these, you know, one of our facilitators in the addiction recovery program called it being in the washing machine. And whenever we, you know, we didn't have a name for it, but we would start feeling this anxiety. And now when I feel that, I immediately try to go somewhere and lay that down at the Savior's feet in prayer, because I know it's a bad emotion. I don't even know what it's called necessarily at the time. But I recognize now that it's not going to take me into a good place, and it's not going to help anything. in any situation, and I need to lay that down and get the calm feeling, you know, as I realize how the Savior and our Heavenly Father deals with a lot of really dysfunctional people. I mean, that's his job, and that's what he's really, really good at, and I'm not good at it. And when I see myself all ruffled and frustrated over stuff that happens in life, I realize that's when I need to lay something down at his feet, because he knows how to go down there with them. He has been down there in the jails and in the pain and in all the arrogance and anger and suffering. He's been down there, and he knows how to deal with it. I don't yet. And when I get all worked up over this, I am getting in the way, and I just need to lay that down at the Savior's feet.
Thank you. Jennifer?
For myself, I think that the one thing that to this day is just a daily thing is a repentance, and quickly repent. I found that the more I try and analyze or justify or rationalize, it's just better to just admit and repent, whether it's a big thing or rather it's just a small thing, but just to do it as quick as possible for my recognition. And then with my family and my spouse or my kids, it's to hand it over if there is a something that arises. And I think that John Lund said, take your frustrations to the Lord and your love to your family. And that was such an eye-opening to me, to think I'm going to behave poorly or express my, you know, instead of looking good for the Lord, he's saying here, no, take everything to him. It didn't matter how ugly it felt or how out of control it made me feel while doing it. He accepted it. And it wasn't embarrassing, or I didn't feel belittled, or I just felt more loved. Like he could take it. So I've tried to look at things that way as far as burdens.
Thank you. Any other burdens we want to talk about? Okay, let's move on then to the final section. And Rick, could I get you to read that?
Change takes time. We may find ourselves impatient for change to occur because we are anxious to stop hurting, even though we do all that we can to seek healing and acknowledge that the Lord is helping us, we still recognize that the healing and recovery process takes time. While continuing to have hope for changes in the near future, we also need to be willing to accept that some changes may take a lifetime or longer. Elder Dallin H. Oaks stated, "Not all problems are overcome and not all needed relationships are fixed in mortality. The work of salvation goes on beyond the veil of death, and we should not be too apprehensive about incompleteness within the limits of mortality. Our loved ones may choose not to change, may struggle with having the motivation to change, may relapse, and may continue to be tempted. While we need to allow them time and space to repent, we do not tolerate abusive behavior in any form. We have the opportunity to actively hope and pray for our loved ones, supporting them as they progress and come unto the Savior and seek healing."
Thank you. How can you develop and demonstrate faith in the face of adversity? Mary.
I think, as I started into this journey, and especially in this program, when I learned what it said here about the work of salvation goes on beyond the veil, that gave me so much hope, because I realized that we have the opportunity for repentance, and even my boys have the opportunity for repentance. And when it says, how can you develop and demonstrate faith in the face of adversity, I learned that I had to be totally and completely honest, especially with people around me. It was very obvious what was going on in my family. You know, my boys were doing the things that really I was hoping that they wouldn't do, but it was very obvious, and the kids in the ward knew. Everybody knew. So for me to hide it was not being faithful. And I realized that I had the opportunity of having several people pray for them. And when finally I would get phone calls and people would call and ask, I had to make a decision. Did I hide it and say, oh, no, we're going to be fine, and I'm sure that they'll serve missions and we're going to be okay? Or did I had to be honest, and I had to say, I never went through the practice of their addiction or went, you know, told terrible stories about them. I would just say, you know what, they are struggling, and we need your prayers. And when you say that, immediately they are on your side, because they will jump onto your side and say, oh, absolutely, we will pray for you. We will pray for you. And it really helped me understand that I had to have faith no matter what was going on. And as time went on, and I had one incident where my son ended up coming to my daughter's mission farewell, and he was very nervous to come. He hadn't been to church for a long time. But when he came into that chapel, and I stood up so he could see where we were sitting, it took him about 10 minutes to get down to where we were sitting because people came out of the benches to hug him. And by the time he sat down, everything was just, he had this smile on his face. He goes, wow, you have the nicest ward. And I said, no, that's the gospel. These people have been praying for you for 6 years, and they're so grateful to see you here. And to me, I realized that it was because of the fact that I had enough faith to just step out of my comfort zone and say, we need help. And when I kneeled down and prayed to my Heavenly Father and just poured my heart out to him, in one of the articles in this principle by Elder Richards, it states, the Savior is not a silent observer. And he is not. He is in every facet of our lives when it comes to the situations that they put us in. And I would love to say, well, and then he straightened up and went on a mission, everything's great. It's not. He's still dealing with his addictions to this day. But he knows that those people in that ward love him. And when someone shows up to a home teacher or someone, he welcomes them in because he knows that they love him.
I have noticed over the years that I've attended these family support meetings that some people walk into the meeting for the first time and they are frightened to death. They are so afraid of someone seeing them there, and they're so afraid of coming out and being vulnerable. And the change that happens as they go to meeting after meeting and relax and realize that the angels in the room are other parents that are going through this and occasionally addicts that are in recovery, and the things that are said are healing. It is, you know, that is the process. It's not just trusting God, but trusting God's process of having brothers and sisters who are sent by God to heal us, to help us through this, and we've become so close to one another in the groups because that's who we've relied on, and it's wonderful. That's what I see when people are nervous about coming the first time. I just want them to know how wonderful it is to have someone to support you.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to the last question. How can faith help you heal, even if your loved one fails to maintain recovery?
My son said something to me one time that really hit me. He said, when you finally gave me permission to rebel, that's when I started working my own program. When I stepped back and let him and have the faith in my Heavenly Father, that my Heavenly Father will scoop him up and put his arms around him, and I quit judging, and I quit being scared, and I quit yelling, and I just stepped back and told them, you know, you have your agency, and you fought for it just like I did, and that's why you're here. And when I stepped back and did that and told them, I love you, you will have the consequences of these actions, you know, and I will love you through this. I think that that's when his partial healing started.
You know, when I heard that question, I put in the words, how can faith and repentance help you heal, even if your loved one fails to maintain recovery? It's not over, you know, anytime soon. And I needed to accept that. And we don't have really any of our addicted family members in strong recovery or even beginning. They've been to a few meetings, but they're certainly not committed to any journey at this point. But I see that, you know, that I can go on a faith and repentance journey myself and heal, because I have to be in a state of peace and contentment and not be in this constant attitude of grief and sorrow, because that just gets in the way of all the good relationships that allow for healing. And so I have a constant journey to repent of those kinds of feelings. I mean, even when I hear some conference talks, you know, I'll immediately go into this space where I say, oh, they really should be listening to this, or, oh, if I could only send this to them, and they, you know, and, oh, if I hope they're listening to, you know, and I go there, and I immediately need to repent of that and say, no, I'm in their business again. Here I am. I've learned not to do that. And so part of faith for me is repenting of those kinds of feelings and the judgment that comes up, because it was so much a part of what I went through early on in the process.
Yes, Melinda.
I love being able to add a word or make up a word, whatever fits for this sentence. I love when it says, how can faith, and I have to add forgiveness, help me heal? Because I found that forgiveness is still an issue for me. I have been over that and over it and over it. I used to come home from these programs, and my husband would say, are you fixed? Is it over? I mean, can we stop now? And I'd say, honey, this is a journey for life. This is, you know, and I, several times I've had to sit down with my daughter and just say, I am so sorry. I am still struggling. You know, will you forgive me? It's just something I'm having a hard time with. And that's the big one for me, is that I think when I can finally forgive 100%, then I'll be able to start to really heal. Otherwise, it's just kind of that constant nightmare that you live with every day. And so the forgiveness is huge for me.
Thank you. All right, now that we've added repentance and forgiveness along with faith, go ahead, Christy, what word will you add?
Okay. You know, it's taken me a few years to recognize a lot of my personal weaknesses and enabling and fear and things that probably contributed in my home to just to relationship issues, things like that. But when I look at this question, how can faith help you heal even if your loved one fails to maintain recovery? I have a strong testimony about this, because I had a loved one who had a relapse after a while. And it was interesting, when that occurred, I had been coming to meetings for quite a while. And so when that happened, I noticed that I had made some progress, because I wasn't as devastated as I was before, because I understood that, you know, that's kind of part of the addiction process sometimes. But faith is the opposite of fear. And so I kind of felt like I was able to look back and say, wow, my faith really, I've really increased my faith. And for me, it was a matter of trust, you know. I could see that I'd actually progressed to the point where I had the trust, and that was huge for me. I love the comment that Boyd K. Packer made, where he talked about, in his talk for Peace at Home, where he talked about, even in the midst of turmoil, we can enjoy inner peace and profound happiness. And it's so great, because as we use these tools, you know, that we're taught, these principles of the gospel, as our faith increases, we can hope, and it just kind of helps to calm our fears. And it gives us that peace to where we can be happy, regardless of the choices of people around us. And that was so great for me to discover that. And I'm so grateful for Elder Packer for that comment, because it's true. I bear testimony that's so true.
Thank you. And I think that's a good place to stop, and we'll move on to our sharing time. We'll now begin the sharing portion of our meeting, and you are invited to share your personal experiences of applying gospel principles in your life. Please focus your sharing on the solution rather than the problem. Refrain from mentioning graphic details about the practice of your loved one's addiction. Also, it is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. Confidentiality and anonymity foster honesty and make this a safe place to share. In keeping with the principle of anonymity, we invite you to introduce yourself by your first name only. We will conclude the sharing portion at about 10 to 8, so we have about 3 to 5 minutes each to share. The time is now yours to share your experience, faith, and hope. We invite you to share for 3 to 5 minutes. I will give you a signal if you've used your full time for sharing. In this meeting, we will proceed around the room, and who would like to begin our sharing? Thank you, Mary.
Hi, I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And I am so thankful for this principle, because I think this principle is so important for understanding that we need to love whether our addict is in recovery or not. It's so important to love them. A lot of this principle talks a lot about believing and trusting and having faith. And how many times through my life in the gospel have I heard all these scriptures and all these things that we can be healed and that the Lord will be with us. And I think it was mentioned tonight, trust. I just didn't have any trust that it would happen to me. And someone told me one time when I was really in the throes of it, they said, you know, you need to mourn the loss of the little boys you used to have. And you need to start learning to love these new boys. And when I did that, I understood how important it was that they knew I loved them. And my youngest one now, when he relapses, I'm the first one he calls. He's not afraid to call and say, you're not going to believe this. And I am so grateful that I'm the one that he calls, because we can talk through it, where there's no judgment there. And he knows that I love him, and he also knows that when he relapses, I'm not going to relapse, because I have been strengthened through this program to learn to have the faith in my Savior. I completely give it to my Heavenly Father and to my Savior and let him heal me, and I have to be completely submissive. And when I did that and learned to do that, I was able to have the peace. And it doesn't mean that I still don't get that feelings of pain and worry, because it still happens. But now it only happens for a day instead of a year. And I'm so grateful for that. But I am very thankful for this. This is a very important step. And as you go through this step, and as I have gone through this step and realize how important it is to lay these burdens at my Savior's feet, it has really given me the peace and happiness. Again, we talk about peace, but we don't talk about happiness so much. But it gives me the happiness that I need to be the mother that these boys need at this point in their lives. And I'm grateful, and I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Mary.
Hi, I'm Rick.
Hi, Rick.
You know, the power of this program in my life has been, let me just share a quick story that really helped me. As I mentioned before, I'm a controller, and I was trying to control everything, control our two boys, control their recovery. I was going to make it better. And of course, that doesn't work, and it's impossible. What changed in our family was when, after going to meetings, learned that the best thing that I could do for my boys was to work on my own recovery. Not from drug or alcohol or whatever, but to work my own program, to work my own issues that was contributing to the toxicity in the home, if you will. And things started to change when finally I was compelled to be humble and pull down the pride
and had a talk with one of my boys who was struggling the worst, and I just said to him, son, I need to work on me. There are some things that I have done that I'm sorry about in this whole process, and I need to fix me. I know you'll work on you, and I'll support you, but I got to work on me because I've got issues. And we talked about that maybe 3 weeks ago, and he told me, he says, you know, Dad, when we had that talk, that's when everything changed. That's when it seemed the burdens come off my shoulders and the freedom. And when you were real with me and didn't try to control, but you says, you're going to work on you and then I can just work on me. You know, it's my testimony that this program is about saving families, not just addicts. My fear was, boy, if our boys don't come back, we're going to lose them forever. And so I got to control the thing. And that's just not the case. As in the first paragraph of this, principle, it says, whatever the outcome, and no matter how difficult your experience is, you have the promise that you will not be denied the blessings of an eternal family relationship if you love the Lord, keep His commandments, and just do the best you can. I have a lot of faith and trust in that and hope. That gives me great hope. I know the Savior lives. I know that He loves us. I know His atonement can change us, can heal us. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Hi, I'm Christy.
Hi, Christy.
I love this lesson because, oh gosh, when really hard things happen, it's so nice to know that there is somebody who understands exactly how I'm feeling. I remember I had a neighbor who had a son who was struggling, and I remember telling me one time in the bathroom at church, she said, I feel like I just don't want to go to church anymore. I just feel so hurt, you know. And I remember thinking, oh, it is hard. It seemed like there was a missionary farewell every week, and that was just like a knife twisting in my heart. But as hard things were happening, as I look back now, I am just so grateful for the simple things that the prophets have taught us, you know, those simple patterns of praying and scripture and service and all of the things that were taught. I remember that I had some callings. I think it was the girls' I was the girls' camp person. And I remember thinking, I need to get out of this calling. I need to ask to be released. And then I just felt like, no, maybe this will be good for me. And just those little things, I'm so grateful for the callings that we have or the opportunities we have to serve other people. And all those little things, the obedience to the simple of commandments just helped pull me through the hardest things. And eventually, as I look back, I can see that, how that holding on to the iron rod, I guess, how that really helped pull me through. And I'm just so, so incredibly grateful for the principles of recovery and healing that are found in the gospel. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Christy. Hi, my name is Melinda.
Hi, Melinda.
And I'm grateful for the program, and I'm grateful for this step. I think for me also, one of the big things that was brought to light was the atonement. I, too, just felt like I could handle anything. I could do it all. I could fix it all. I could, you know, go to these programs, and I could learn it all, and I could go home, and I could enforce it, and I could make it work. And I remember my first meeting that I went to. I remember ripping down the road in my little red sports car thinking life was great, and I had the world by the tail, and everything was great except for this one thing. And I remember sitting in the parking lot thinking, this is so bigger than you. This is, you know, you have no idea. I remember sitting in the parking lot, not wanting to get out of my car, thinking, what am I doing here? This is like the TV shows, you know, that you watch on TV and go, well, I would never do that. I would never sit in a meeting and say, share my feelings or what's going on. And I remember it didn't take but about 10 minutes to sit there and look around and figure out very quickly that this was not about anyone but me. And that was very, very sobering for me. I mean, I was raised where you put all the ingredients in the cake and you wait for the time and it comes up and it's perfect and we go on our merry way. And my cake was dropped, fallen. It was a mess. It was a mess, my life. I came home and it took me weeks to get over what I saw and what I felt. And I knew that I was in for it. And so I continued to go. And the atonement is what really helped me get through a lot of really dark times and continues to get me through those dark times, not only through addictions, but when you read this and says it takes away the pains and the sickness of his people, you know, whether you're sitting at the bed of someone who's ill, I've sat at the bed of my mother for 5 months who's been dealing with cancer, and it's every bit as daunting as getting those phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock is the time. I don't know what it is about 2 o'clock, but that's the time. That's the time you get those phone calls. And that's not a good thing to have to deal with that portion of heartache. But anyway, I love the program. I'm grateful for the Savior and the fact that he was willing to do what he did for us and to give us the opportunity to get through this life and move on, and that we will be okay. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Melinda.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
I just so appreciate the spirit that's been here tonight, and I just appreciate it. I kind of put principle 3 in, he will take upon him my pains and my sickness. And I think that was the recognition, the same as what's been kind of said, is this really had nothing to do with my addict. This had to do more with me and what I had become, what I was holding on to. It was about my repentance. A quote I love is, only he can undo what I had become. And I kind of saw it that way, of just undoing that stitching of the things and the emotions and the feelings and all of the anger and the yucky things that, you know, we really are intended to carry. I realized that I needed to focus more on myself than anyone around me, and then to learn to act for myself rather than to be acted upon. Boundaries, recognition of behaviors that I was conscious for the first time. You know, just those things of all this that I needed to change, not only in my family, but in my own life, to be able to then, you know, add on to my family and to be a good influence. So I'm so grateful for the knowledge that we have. I'm so grateful that I can trust today my Heavenly Father and know that my Savior has and will continue to, he's got this. And it's okay to not have to do it all myself. And I say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill.
We had an experience fairly early on with our son that was living with us, that was addicted. And he, after attending for a few months the addiction recovery classes, family support classes, he gave us a call in the middle of the night. Or he didn't give us a call. We got a call from a policeman in the middle of the night.
2 o'clock in the morning?
And my wife turned over and she said, you get the privilege of having some bonding time with your son. And I went down to the place where he was. He was throwing up in a garbage can, and the policeman had looked through his stuff and couldn't find any money to find a cab and get him home. And so I carried him, not totally, but helped him out to the car and took him home and put him to bed. And the next day we were having a discussion, and he asked about his own, you know, ask us how he was doing, how we felt he was doing, and we didn't really answer that question. We turned the question to him and asked him, how do you feel that we're doing? And he hadn't really anticipated that, but he said, well, I think things are starting to change here, because that night that you picked me up when I was drunk and, you know, took me home and put me to bed, that was a totally different experience than what it would have been before. And you didn't give me that look. You know, you just took me home and put me to bed. And that was kind of a defining moment for me when he said that, because I thought, you know, in this frame of mind, I think we can deal with this. And if I can just stay in that space where I am serving my children and not judging them, where I can be their helper through life and not their judge, where I can forgive them. There's a phrase that we have on a refrigerator that just comes into my mind over and over again whenever stuff comes up, and it's forgive everyone, everything, always. And I just, that is my mantra. You know, when anything comes up, forgive everything, everyone, everything, always. And another thing that was stated in one of our meetings not too long ago was someone mentioned that the that the brother Jared and all the Jaredites who were out on the ocean for a whole year going through these, you know, these big giant waves crashing over their little boats and all that. And they mentioned that it was the very waves that were making them sick and causing so much trouble in their present lives that were also driving them to the promised land. And I've had to remember that as I've gone through all these waves, that the waves are not going to stop anytime soon. They're going to keep coming. But those are the waves that are driving me and my loved ones to the promised land. Mm. And I'm just grateful for them. And so I can rejoice in them. I can be happy. I can heal as those waves are crashing over, and I can serve while that's going on. And that has been so helpful, and thanks to this program and to my Savior for making that happen. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Joe.
I feel a feeling of gratitude, especially towards my Savior. And in large part because of this program, I've become more acquainted with him and been compelled to find out about the atonement, to actually practice it. I'm thankful for those experiences, how patient he is with me. I feel a lot of regret inside that I've relied so much on things that really didn't matter for direction and comfort. I've come to know that he really is the way, that he does care about me, that he does love me, that he does care and love my family. And I'm so thankful for his example in reading the scriptures, seeing the examples of empathy and mercy and kindness and service. And finally, I see that that is the way to healing. And it's through his acts. I constantly need to recommit to following him. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father who hears and answers my prayers. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, all of you, for all that you've shared and for the testimonies that you have borne. As we've talked tonight, my mind has been going to that church commercial on TV where you see the father playing with the kids, and then it comes on, family, it's about time. I think we here in this group have a little different understanding of time.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, right. But as in the readings for tonight's principle, Elder Orson R. Whitney wrote, "No pain that we suffer, no trial that we experience is wasted. It ministers to our education, to the development of such qualities as patience, faith, fortitude, and humility. It is through sorrow and suffering, toil and tribulation that we gain the education that we come here to acquire." To me, that's what time is all about, is gaining these things that we need to gain so that we can return to our Heavenly Father. I have a favorite quote I keep in my scriptures. It says, "Cherish your spiritual burdens because God will converse with you through them." I know, as we've discussed tonight, that I think all of you can agree our family members have driven us to our knees and to our scriptures, and that is what has helped to carry us and helped us to understand God's great love and His plan for us. And I know that this program is inspired of God, especially this new support for the families, that we're able to have something that helps each of us to overcome our individual weaknesses and learn to identify our character defects and give us more of a program, I think, to turn them over to God so that we can fully experience the atonement in our lives. And I'm grateful for each one of you and for what you have shared tonight and for the spirit that has been felt here. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please remember that what has been shared here is confidential, and the opinions expressed here are those of the individual who express them and do not necessarily represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Please review the gospel study and the personal learning and application sections of the principles between meetings to build on what you've heard and experienced in this meeting. We thank each of you for your participation. And could I get a volunteer for our closing prayer? Thank you, Jennifer.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this opportunity in which we've had to come together as a support group and be able to share experiences and feelings and the emotions in which we have been able to. We're so grateful for the Spirit which has been here and will continue to guide and direct us this week. And we're so grateful for the principles and the application in which they benefit our lives. We're so grateful for the Savior and the great atonement and the knowledge in which we are learning to apply it in our lives. Please bless us that we will be able to carry these things with us and remember them and turn to them, and that we will be able to be healed. And we say these things humbly, in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to an actual LDS addiction recovery program spouse and family support meeting. For more information or to attend meetings near you, visit arp.lds.org or contact your local priesthood leader. To download a podcast of any episode of the Addiction Recovery Program, visit mormonchannel.org or arp.lds.org.